Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Bullseye Saints Hour. Mike Haas along with Saints rookie linebacker Danny Stutzman. Fourth round pick out of Oklahoma, originally from Florida. And now we're so many games in, you must not feel like a rookie anymore, right? Does it feel different?
Absolutely not. I mean, you gotta get rolling quick. You know, the season comes by so fast and you're just taking in so much information every day, you know, trying to learn, you know, everyone's name, faces, and the facility and the routine. And definitely not, you know, I feel like I've been doing this for a little bit, you know, but I've been taking it day by day.
We had Peter Sermon, your coach, on last night on the Saints coaches show, and it's his first year in the NFL. And I was like, well, you know, what's the transition like? Is it the same thing from a college to pro? And he's like, it was just way more everything. Not one thing. It was just way more everything.
Same. I think that's a great way to describe it. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so it's been fun and to watch your kind of progression, because you spent first six games, you had 10 defensive snaps. I mean, you were primarily special teams, 101. And then in the last five games, you've had 66 defensive snaps. So I'm assuming at some point that was a planned, hey, Danny, here's what we're going to do. We're going to start working you in more situationally.
Yeah, I think one day on like a Saturday, he's like, all right, we're going to start getting you some reps in the game. And I'm like, all right, here we go. But, you know, I've always, you know, tried to prepare myself to, you know, be ready no matter what. You know, all it takes is one unfortunate play and then your number's called. So, you know, it wasn't really any surprise there. You know, I didn't have to change my routine or how I prepared myself. I was ready to go.
So I want to talk about a few plays from the game against Atlanta, because we often talk about the little things. It's the little things that happen before or after that often people don't talk about. And so second quarter, Falcons have the ball, first and 10, Tyler Allgeier, boom, 8 yards. Second and 2, boom, Tyler Allgeier, 13 yards. Now it's first and 10. They run it again to Tyler Allgeier. You kind of shoot the gap, and you get him for 1 yard, which puts them in a second and 9. Now they're in a passing situation. Mm-hmm. And it's that you blitz, and Bijan kind of, you know, gets a little bit of you. But I feel like Cousins kind of, I'm not really sure what Cousins was thinking, to be honest, but he throws a little more inside than I'm thinking, that I think he wanted to. Mm-hmm. Pops up in the air, Justin Reed, interception. I guess just before we even talk about the interception, because I got more there, it is kind of what I'm talking about, right? It's that little thing. It's that putting them in second and 9. Nobody thought about that, what would be the next play, but that was important.
Absolutely. I think, obviously, it sounds like you know a lot of ball, because the average fan's not going that deep into it. So when you get into a get back on track down, second and 9, they want to make it to a third and manageable, third and 4. So they're looking for something easy. You know, so they had an oversplit by 1 and 2, and DeMario's all over that. If you see DeMario, he kind of beats the receiver to the ball. He runs past the slants that he saw, And, you know, I think on that simulated pressure right there, you know, my rush could have been a little better. You know, maybe you want to, you know, create a little bit faster, you know, pressure, move the quarterback off the spot. But with quick game like that, you know, you just got to, you know, I timed it up right, you know, got in the face, maybe altered the throw, you know, had a hand up. But incredible coverage by Kool-Aid, you know, Justin Reed, you know, doing exactly what he does in perfect position. And, you know, and right after there, you know, the rest is just what it was.
So as Justin makes the interception, your role is now Kirk Cousins. And it's not from the 5 or the 10 or the 15. It starts at the 30. You're basically between the numbers and the hash marks, really on the numbers. And for 30 yards, you guys run almost face mask to face mask. He makes zero effort. I mean, he couldn't, you know, Kirk's not going to go get Justin Reed, but he makes zero effort. So I have a few questions here. First off, it looks a little awkward. Is it awkward?
Yeah, so I was running with him. How are the kids? You know, that normal talk. He asked me how I'm like in New Orleans. I'm asking how he's like in Atlanta. No, but in all seriousness, you know, after an interception, you know, the two players that make the plays, typically the quarterback and the wide receiver, you know, I'm right there. You know, you turn around. Now defense turns into offense. Offense turns into defense. So I'm looking for a block. I mean, Kirk Cousins worth a lot of money. I don't think he's trying to, you know, put himself in a situation where, you know, he can hurt his throwing arm or shoulder. So when he sees a white guy with a neck pad and arm brace, you know, holding him up, I think he kind of got the message there, and didn't really, you know, do much after that. And it just kind of just doing my job. And I think he knew what was happening.
No, you're right. He stayed. Was there any conversation?
No, not in that moment. No, I don't think so. Maybe if I was DeMario, you know, they could have.
Dude, don't even think about it.
Chopped it up, but not here.
It was just only because it caught my attention because it was so long. It was 30 yards, but it was crucial because the way that Justin did have to cut back, had Kirk had at any point gotten from the inside, he could have, you know, at least done something. And I guess the second thing I was thinking about was you could have knocked him on his butt. You had every, you know, within your right to knock him on his keister.
In those moments, I always think about like when Zach Wilson was at BYU. I don't know who they played, but those like three defensive players like tried to kill him, and I'm like, dude, this is the NFL. Like they'll throw 100 flags if you try and, you know, take quarterback to the ground. I'm like, I don't want to see an envelope in my locker, you know, the next day. So I'm gonna be smart here. You know, you gotta protect the quarterbacks, and I think I did just enough, you know, to make the play, you know, what it was.
Well, yeah, your job at that point is to keep him away from Justin.
Absolutely.
Period.
And Justin did a fantastic job, you know, making people miss, and that all the credit's there to him.
Just kind of overall defensively, because the crowd was into it, and it's your first game. You don't know a lot about the Atlanta rivalry, but you can probably feel the electricity in the building is a little different when it's at Atlanta. And automatically, your defense was put, you know, kind of behind with the turnover, and you forced the field goal. Just give me kind of your assessment of the defense. We don't, beyond the two explosive plays that really, you know, those were big, but just your overall impressions.
Yeah, I think going into that game, you know, we obviously knew their offense was going to go through number 7. You know, I faced against him quite a bit, and, you know, in college, him being a Texas guy. You know, I'm from Oklahoma, and now he's in Atlanta. I'm in New Orleans, and I think that's just, you know, fate in one way. But I think, you know, in our base personnel, we did a really good job, you know, stopping the run. You know, unfortunately, there was those two runs that you mentioned earlier were kind of the longest runs of the day. And that kind of happened to our nickel personnel. You know, you got to stop the run, you know, no matter what personnel you're in. But I think overall, the defensive line was hungry that game. You know, we kind of challenged them throughout the week. You know, a lot of those zone schemes are really tough on the defensive line. You know, they get slipped through blocks. You know, but they did a great job. You know, they were grinding it through the entire game. And it was really incredible to see, you know, defensive line play like that for all four quarters. You know, unfortunately, there were some plays that you want to get back. You know, that long screen down on 2nd and 22, and that's just a situation that, you know, you just got to make a play there. You know, there's another screen of Bijan on a flare, and that obviously that deep bomb. You know, there's plays you wish you can get back, but you can't. I think as a defense, you know, we just got to, you know, play cleaner, you know, through four quarters. And I know that's what we're preparing every single day for. You know, as a young guy, I see the effort that's put in throughout the week. You know, it's cool to see, you know, these veterans lead and how they do it. And just, you know, the guys in this room like Q Riley, you know, Jonas Sanker that are watching these veterans do it just really paves the path that we need to follow.
Yeah, I don't know that I've seen a back like Robinson have kind of those jump cut, just drastic moves from in sometimes in the hole, and sometimes from in the hole to outside. You know, I mean, he's a special kind of guy, which you've seen, you know, obviously from Texas. So after that series, Atlanta gets it back. They drive down, and Isaiah Stallbird, and you're not in. You're on the sidelines.
Yeah.
But I've never seen a play like that, because it's not that he just jumped up high, because he started the 4 distance. Yards away from him, right? And I'm trying to think, I think Kirk kind of saw him out of the corner of his eye, but, you know, he ducked a little bit, but I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen a guy jump over a quarterback, because in Kirk's head, all he sees at that point as he leans down is Stallbird's helmet and legs goes over him.
For sure. I think the thought process, you know, I asked Isaiah about that. You don't know if we should fine him or what for that play. Fortunately, he got up and was able to finish the sack. He got a full sack, which was more of a miracle than the play itself. But, you know, talking to him, you know, Kirk hasn't played a lot of ball. I feel like when he sees what we're in, and as soon as the ball snapped in 0.1 milliseconds, he's known we're in a zero pressure. And I think Isaiah thought the ball's coming out fast. You know, fortunately, our coverage was really good, so he kind of had to hold on to it. I guess he thought if I could, you know, maybe get there, maybe if I jump from here, I'll get to him faster. You know, I can beat him before the ball comes out. But Isaiah's a freak. His speed is unmatched. You know, some of the movements that he makes, you know, his safety background, you know, really helps him in a lot of these situations. So having him on third downs is critical. You know, we can do a lot with our rush patterns and our coverage, you know, that he has. And so he gets in those situations where he can make a lot of plays, and it's cool to watch him do that.
That is Danny Stutzman we're talking to, the fourth round pick out of Oklahoma, and really the young guys, Isaiah Stallbird and Stutzman, both who've kind of done a lot of special teams, getting a lot more play. Isaiah more situationally, and you heard Danny talk about really just kind of getting into the games in certain, you know, certain coverages and certain downs. So we're going to talk more with Danny Stutzman. Also hear from his coach, the linebacker coach, Peter Sermon. When we come back, this is the Bullseye Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It is the Bullseye Saints Hour. Bullseye, the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints. And last night on the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show, we talked to linebackers coach Peter Sermon in his first year and wanted to get his thoughts on the progress of his fourth round pick, that being the man we're talking to tonight, Danny Stutzman. But here's Coach Sermon from last night.
Yeah, his growth has been excellent. You know, this is this process, you know, we got here right around the combine. And then after the combine, you know, Jeff Ireland and Mickey sent us out to get some opportunities to work some guys out and spend time with them. And Danny was one of those guys that I had opportunity to spend time with, did a personal workout with him, and then actually went out to dinner with him and then did a position meeting with him. So I felt I had a real good exposure to what Danny was personality-wise, and then most importantly, kind of what his football capacity was and get an understanding of how he was trained. I think he did a great job getting trained at OU, and he's come in and he's been very diligent, been very, very mature as a rookie. And right now he's learning two spots. So he plays behind DeMario, and he's obviously in the rotation behind Pete. So what he's been able to do mentally to handle those two positions as a rookie with a full workload on special teams, it's been very impressive with what he's doing. We're real bullish on him in the future.
And that is linebacker coach Peter Sermon. And that's where we'll pick up our interview with Danny Stutzman, as I'm talking to him really just about the challenges and the differences in his role when you're backing up veterans, both DeMario Davis and Pete Werner.
But from a role standpoint, it's not incredibly different as to what you're asked to do, or is it?
Not particularly. I think that Will linebacker, that the money is what we call it, is put in space a little bit. You know, I think some of the stuff within the scheme is a little different. But at the end of the day, you are playing linebacker. You know, your job is to defeat blocks and make tackles, and then guard tight ends, and and those hook drops. But overall, it's pretty similar.
Few more questions here. We were talking with Saints linebacker Danny Stutzman. So you went to Foundation Academy, Winter Garden, Florida, which is just north of Orlando. Born in that area, mm-hmm. right? So just north of Orlando, basically just north of Walt Disney World.
Yeah.
I'm assuming as a
like
kid.
20 minutes.
I mean, I was going to say it was like going to, to the Walmart, going to Walt Disney World right there, right?
I wish. I didn't really. I probably went like a couple of times. When you live there, you don't go as much as you think. There's a lot of traffic. You kind of avoid the touristy spots.
Graduated in 2020?
2021.
2021. From high school?
Yes, sir.
So when you were recruiting, what kind of impact was COVID during all that? Because,
I never even got to see Oklahoma, really. I think I went, Caleb Williams did like an unofficial thing, got some of the guys, but we couldn't like go on campus. Like we couldn't see any of the facilities. It had to be like just all outside looking in, which is kind of weird to say. I committed to a school without really getting a visit or really seeing it, just on Zooms, which was they did a fantastic job, I guess, but they went above and beyond on the Zoom calls, but that was pretty much it.
So when you got there, because I've been there, I mean, and people that don't know, if you're at OU in Norman, Oklahoma, it is like you're the NFL team. You're not Dallas, but you're daggone pretty close to being an NFL team.
100%. My actual first experience there, I was taking a visit to Oklahoma State before COVID, and me and my dad, the airport, and it's pretty close, about 30 minutes from the airport. We're like, oh, we'll stop by, and it was like a rainy day in Norman. I'm like, oh, this isn't that great. I didn't have an OU offer. I was like, man, this is overrated, it is. And then I got the Oklahoma offer, and I was like, all right, maybe let's backtrack a little bit. This school in the history is pretty incredible.
Did you get to Oklahoma State? You saw Oklahoma State in person?
I saw Oklahoma State. I had a good visit. Like, it was, a real good time, it was... felt like years, but was years ago. It felt like lifetimes ago. But Oklahoma just really, really captured my heart.
Yeah, because they're two different campuses.
Sure.
Oklahoma State, they're different. And so, Red, and you have answered this question many, many times. Donated a portion of your NIL money to walk-ons at OU. When did that come to you? Why did you do it?
I just NIL era was really like. Everything that seemed like it was all about, just me, like I. And I didn't really like that. I didn't like the narrative of just the best players are getting the majority of the money. We got walk-ons, doing the same workouts, the same practices, have harder schedules, got to keep their grades up, aren't allowed to slip. And it didn't sit right with me that we've had some dudes be in these rooms for 5 years and haven't seen nothing while other guys just are out of high school making a ton of money. And I just wanted to give something back. I wish I could have given more, but those guys were really grateful of what I was able to do for them. And seeing the reactions, a guy like Owen Heineke was one, and now he's out there starting games. And that's just an incredible story. It's cool to see that. And, they're really humble. A lot of those guys are, I still talk to them to this day. And just some of those great friendships. And it was really cool to do something like that.
Can you because you started in the young part of NIL, and you see where it is now. That's 0 to 100 miles an hour, isn't it? And the shortest amount of time possible.
Oh yeah, I think my sophomore year, I led the Big 12 in tackles, and then NIL starts being like, oh, I'm about to, you know, that'd be a payday here, and they offer me like $50,000, and I'm like, where do I sign? Like, where do I sign? And now, like, this dude gets that, he's transferring,
you getting get that in cash,
getting
now
millions of dollars, like a new cars, and I think that was just kind of like the change of it. It was like, when I was a sophomore, I was like, that seemed like so much money, and now these players are getting that.
Well, it is.
It's a ton of money, but now these players are out of high school getting, you know, six-figure deals and car deals and all this and that. You know, it just, it's really evolved, and it's in a weird spot. I don't want to go too deep into it.
No,
it is.
But I will. I will tell you, they need something. The train is off the tracks.
Absolutely,
off the tracks. I will say, I won't get you in trouble, but it is off the tracks.
I don't know. I've always saw it as, why, like, if I had a great year, the school, if, like, my sophomore, I couldn't go to the draft. They knew I wasn't gonna. I loved Oklahoma. They knew I wasn't gonna transfer. It's like, but why should a player, like, he doesn't get rewarded for staying and being loyal to the school? Like, they're going to have to pay the transfer that they want to bring in from another school all the money so they can improve their roster.
But here's the part that bothers me is that, you know who loses in all this? The high school kid.
Mm-hmm.
Because coaches are on such a short leash, they've got to win now, and I'm going to go get me a transfer player.
Well, especially the JUCO players don't even lose eligibility anymore.
Right. The JUCO don't lose eligibility.
I'd rather get the 20-year-old that has all 4 years than the 18-year-old that doesn't really still figuring it out.
I don't have time to develop that kid anymore.
It's just how the game's changed.
Right. Those are the guys that suffer. That just feels like, and I get it, the coaches, they don't have time. They've got to win. So they get the JUCO guys, they get the transfer portal. Believe me, I did the same thing. I went, Oklahoma. Wait, just Oklahoma, right? The way it was.
Yeah.
It used to be a red flag, you know? Oh, like, I went to two schools. Oh, it must be a problem. Now
some dudes have been to four, maybe even five. And it's all over the place. I don't know how they can fix it. Now they're saying they're putting like a cap on it.
Yeah.
I'm sure LSU or those big schools are still going to have a collective that are going to put some money on top. Which, why wouldn't they? You know, they got to win games, man. That's what college football is all about. And so those big teams can really profit from it.
You have maybe conversations at your house that we don't have at mine. Your dad played football. Your mom played basketball at Baylor. And your sister softball at Florida State.
Yep.
So there is the who's the best athlete in the family conversation. That's a pretty athletic family. Who do you take after?
I think from both my parents, you know, my mom was a really talented basketball player. My dad was really talented at football. You know, I think, you know, a few years ago, I think there was a big debate. I think now it's kind of, you know, separated a little bit. But my mom was one heck of an athlete for sure.
Final question, because the next two games are in Miami and Tampa and Orlando, where your family is. Will you have family at either one of these next two?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, absolutely. A ton. And it's like, they know I'm really focused on this game. They ain't coming for me for tickets. You know, my family can handle that all they want.
It's Miami, dude. They can sit wherever they
want. They'll have a great time, you know, regardless. But, yes, a ton of family.
Cool. It's been an honor. Keep doing it. Keep racking them up. And just appreciate your time and best continued success.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be on here.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.